From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome once again in the Saviour's name to our gospel broadcast. I'm glad that you're joining us and I hope you'll stay tuned for the next quarter hour, as today the Reverend Andrew Patterson is letting the Bible speak. But before we hear the message, let's take just a few moments and listen to some words in song.
Folks, good to be with you again today. I'm turning back to Revelation chapter 7, and we're taking a little glimpse at heaven. Just let's read again from the words of verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. Amen. Just ending there at the end of verse 11. Last time we were looking something at the company that will be in heaven, as we are given that detail in the words of verse 9. But John here is also brought to see the clothing that the saints of God are wearing. For it says at the end of that verse 9 that they're clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. You look at their position. They're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. What a delight to stand uncondemned before the very throne of God and before Him who loved us, enjoying the unhindered presence and fellowship of the Lord forevermore. It was old Samuel Rutherford, that Scottish divine, who said, "Heaven and Christ are the same thing. To be in heaven is to be with Christ, and to be with Christ is heaven." But they stand before the throne clothed with white robes. White is the colour which speaks to us of purity. Heaven is a place of pureness. There will be no sin there. There will be nothing that will enter in that will defile. And therefore, for anyone to be in heaven, they must have their filthy garments and their rags of sin put off them. There must be the exchange made. And bless God, the spotless righteousness which God requires in heaven is also provided by Him. The white robes are those of the righteousness of Christ, for He lived that spotless life. There was no guile found in Him. He could not sin. He did no sin. He was the sinless Lamb of God. And when a sinner comes to Christ and believes in Him for salvation, then that great exchange is made, whereby the Saviour takes our filthy rags and He clothes us with His spotless righteousness. You know, such a white garment also speaks to us of one in a high office. The Roman officials would often be found wearing such white garments, but none holds so high an office or position as the child of God. We're reminded in Romans that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and we shall reign with Him in His kingdom. What a picture that is! What beautiful garments we shall wear in heaven. We do not deserve them. We have not merited them. But bless God, when we come to Christ, those spotless robes were imputed to us. The righteousness of Christ, the spotless life that He lived, was led to your account if you're saved today. I trust that you realize that no other garments will be acceptable in heaven. There's some maybe depending on the robes of good works, or of church attendance, or of the sacraments, but these will not be acceptable. I believe the Lord brought that to light when He spoke in a parable of heaven being likened to a wedding feast. And all the guests were invited to it. All were equal. All were invited and had accepted that invitation. All were provided with the wedding garment. But sadly, when the king came in to meet with his guests, he was to see one who had not the wedding garment upon him. He had passed by that garment that was freely offered. He thought maybe that his own would be close enough and it would do. Matthew 22, however, tells us the outcome. Verse 12, "And he said unto him," that is the king, "said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I once asked a person, were they saved or not? She replied that she was a Sunday school teacher for so many years. I hope that she's not depending on that garment to get her to heaven. You see, the Lord gives a warning here that the old garments of self-righteousness, no matter how commendable they may be, no matter how clean they may seem to be, they will not suffice. There's only one robe in heaven, and that is the white robe of Christ's righteousness. And the redeemed of the Lord shall stand around the throne wearing those robes. Sin leaves us in a naked state. Remember when Adam sinned in the garden, his natural instinct was to hide away from God, from his guilt and from his shame, and he knew he was naked now. He was hiding his nakedness from God, and thus the Lord God asked him, "Adam, where art thou?" But God has an answer for the nakedness of man, as He had for Adam and Eve. It is His clothing. That clothing was at a cost, but an innocent animal had to be taken and slain, and his blood shed, so that Adam and Eve could have coats of skins to clothe them. What a picture of the Lamb of God who was slain on the cross of Calvary. His precious blood was shed so that sinners, such as we, could have our sins covered over, so that our nakedness could be hidden, and so that we could have the spotless garments of Christ's righteousness and rendered fit for heaven itself. And the hymn writer puts it like this: "When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own. When I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not to them, how much I owe. This is the clothing of heaven. Tell me, is it your clothing? Will you be there? John was led to hear the words of the redeemed who stood before the throne. And you know they amount to words of a confession. They're found to be speaking about the salvation of God. Now we need to notice the source of that salvation. Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. With a loud voice they're able to confess that salvation belongs to God. It was planned out by God from eternity past, and it was brought to light in the giving of his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Like Jonah had to confess in the belly of the whale, salvation is of the Lord. If you're looking somewhere else for it, then, dear listener, you're looking in the wrong place. And these saints of God, as they stand around the throne, are brought again to confess that their salvation was nothing of themselves. They were as unworthy as any other. It was not through anything which they did. That is the great difference, of course, in the religions of this world. Other faiths preach that you must work for one's salvation. But my friend, the Bible instructs us that for God's salvation the work has already been done by another. And you'll notice the sacrifice for our salvation. This heavenly confession speaks at the end of verse 10 about the Lamb. And that irresistibly brings us to that old rugged cross, to where they took the blessed Lamb of God as to a slaughter, and they crucified him. By the hands of cruel and wicked men, they took the Saviour and they nailed him to the tree. But through it all, the sovereign plan of God was being fulfilled. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. Christ was that Lamb who was to die in our guilty room instead. Then you'll see the sufficiency of our salvation. For verse 10 also speaks of the position of God and the Lamb around the throne. They're sitting. The work of the cross has been completed. It has been satisfactorily finished. And there remains no more that needs to be done. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 10 verse 12. Just as the blood sprinkled upon the doorposts and the homes in Egypt were sufficient to save them all, so the precious blood of Christ and his work and his death on the cross is sufficient to save all who will come for its cleansing. And today Christ through the gospel is yet welcoming sinners to prepare for heaven and to be saved. Tell me, are you depending on the finished work to get you to heaven? Are these the words of your confession? Will you be there one day? Richard Baxter said, heaven will pay for any loss we may suffer to gain it, but nothing will pay for the loss of heaven. Make sure you're there. Seek Christ while he may be found. Until next time, God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.